All right, I ask you to turn your attention this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. Beginning in verse number 9. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse number 9. Do thou diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Tropaphus have I left at Millennium sick. Do thou diligence to come before winter. Eulabus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Lannis, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you all. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for the opportunity to come and worship in spirit and in truth, to love you and to show our great appreciation for what you have done in our lives this morning. And Lord, we pray today that as we look into thy word, that this morning, Lord, that you might bless and you might take your word and apply it into hearts and lives. And that everything here that's said and done will be done for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. For it's in his wonderful holy name we pray. Amen and amen. I heard about a young man who had just gotten out of school and got his first apartment, and so he was awfully proud of it. And so one evening he invited some of his friends over to see his apartment, and they got there kind of late, and he was showing them all through the apartment. He went into his bedroom, and on the bedroom wall was hanging this gigantic gong, and he said, somebody said, "What's that?" And he said, "That's a talking clock." And the guy said, "A talking clock?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That doesn't look like a talking clock to me." And he said, "Well, here, watch." Well, where, and he got a hammer and he hit that thing and it went, made the awfulest, loudest noise. And he stood back, and about 30 seconds, somebody yelled through the wall, "It's 10:30 at night, you idiot." You know, sometimes we better be careful, amen. This letter that I'll read to you from this morning is one of my favorite in all of the New Testament. It is Paul writing from a prison cell in Rome, traditionally known as the Mamertine prison. It was a prison that's much unlike what we have today. It was simply built in the beginning to be a cistern to hold water from the aqueducts in Rome, and they had converted it into a prison, and prisoners were let down through a hole in the roof on a rope and dropped into this dungeon of darkness and evil this morning. And here was Paul was living in Rome in this particular prison today. And as he's living here in this Mamertine prison, he writes this epistle to Timothy. He's writing this morning his last known letter that we have of the Apostle Paul in his life. I suppose this morning as we read through this particular epistle, we could say this morning this was the last will and testament of the Apostle Paul. And he writes this epistle to his son in the faith, Timothy, who had been with him and who had been trained by the Apostle Paul and traveled with him throughout his ministry. He left Timothy in Ephesus to there be the bishop and to strengthen those things in the church there in Ephesus this morning. We find this morning as he closes out this epistle and as he writes this last letter to Timothy, he asks Timothy a very simple thing. We find it this morning in verse number 21. He asked Timothy to do something for him. He said, Timothy, I want you to come before winter. Come before winter. In verse number 9, he says, do thy diligence to come to me shortly. Here in verse number 21, he said, do thy diligence to come before winter. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to make every effort. I want you to do everything you possibly can to come before winter. Don't delay. You need to do it now. You see, one of the great problems we have many times in our lives is that we procrastinate. We delay. We don't do it now. We don't do with all our diligence this morning. We don't make every effort to do sometimes what we need to do. But Paul says, Timothy, I want you to come before winter. Now, why would Paul this morning make this so, and why was this so important to the Apostle Paul? Why before winter this morning? Well, in the days that Paul and Timothy lived, travel was not as we have it today. Travel was much more difficult. They usually walked most places, or they would ride on different kinds of animals. But the primary way that they traveled was walking, and then they would have to travel across water on ships. And during the winter season, as you can read about Paul not wanting to leave the safe havens over in the book of Acts, the ports would close and the shipping lines would shut down. And there was no travel until the spring fall arrived. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, it's a long and dangerous journey. Soon the ports will be closing and you'll not be able to make it. And I need you to come before winter. Come before the ports are closed. You see, Paul had an idea that he might not last until spring. That he might not be living come the springtime of the next year. And he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, I need you. Timothy, I need you. I need for you to come. And Timothy, I just need to talk to you. Timothy, I just need to see you. Timothy, my life is almost over. He writes as he closes out this epistle, as he begins the first part of the chapter, and he talks about how that he was ready to be offered. He was ready this morning to fold his tent. He was ready to depart and be with the Lord. Paul was saying, I'm ready to go. I've made everything is right with God. I've kept the faith and I've fought a good fight. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be offered for Jesus this morning. I'm ready to be with Jesus. He wrote in another place to the Philippian church that would be some place that would be far better. He's living here in this darkened dungeon of a prison. And certainly this morning the great halls of glory and be with the Lord Jesus Christ and the lighted palaces of heaven today would be far better than the dungeons of Rome. And so Paul knew that he would be in a far better place. But this morning as he looks around and before he departs to be with Jesus, he says to Timothy, Timothy, I want to see you. I want to talk to you, Timothy. So you need to come before winter. You kind of sense an urgency this morning in the voice of Paul as he writes these words this morning. And that kind of word this morning kind of resonates down through the corridors of time to each of us this morning. These words have captured my attention this past week for some reason. I've read this epistle many, many times through the years, and as I read it this week again, and as I was thinking and meditating, these words kept resonating through my mind. Come before winter. An urgency in the Apostle Paul's voice this morning to come before winter. You know, we had to have a great urgency in our lives to do some important things at times. You read through this epistle, I think this morning that as we come to this time this morning and we come before winter, we need to come to the place in our life that we appreciate God and His goodness. Amen. He wrote and he said, the Lord stood with me. And then he begins to name some people who have deserted. He talked about Demas who left this morning and departed having loved this present world. He talked about another man who this morning withstood him, who this morning actually persecuted and did everything he could against the Apostle Paul and the message of Christ, a man by the name of Alexander. And as you read through these words today, you find that the Apostle Paul doesn't seem to have any bitterness in his life for these individuals. He writes in verse number 16, I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. You know, he wrote in another place that you can be angry but sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. This morning we can get angry at times, and that's a natural human reaction. There are going to be times in our life when we get angry, when things are not exactly like we would like for them to be, and something's going to trigger some anger in our life. But Paul says, hey, sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let bitterness set into your life. Don't let things begin to nurture in your soul. Don't let those things begin to kind of root out all of the things this morning that are good. Get angry, but not forever. One time when I pastored another church and we had some damage to the church through a tornado, and we had to rebuild the sanctuary, and we hired some individuals to do that, and there were some things begin to happen, and there were some problems begin to arise. One of the individuals was a good man. I knew him all of those years. And he, this morning, had some problems and with some other members of the congregation. And it caused some problems down through the years. And, you know, but as a man was one day diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he came to me and he said, I want to say something. I said, well, say what you want. And he talked about how that he had got bitter and how other people had got bitter and anger, and he wanted people to forgive him this morning. You know, sometimes we need to realize that bitterness doesn't hurt anybody but us. Paul could have been bitter at Demas. He could have been bitter at Alexander. He could have spent his days trying to figure out how to get even with them. But it'll kill you. Paul simply said, hey, I didn't let the sun go down upon my wrath. This morning, we don't need to allow that to come into our lives either. Then he begins to list a group of people this morning who helped and who labored in the ministry of God. You can read the list again, Priscilla and Aquila and many others this morning. I say to you today, we ought to appreciate our friends. We ought to appreciate those who work for God. We ought to appreciate those who are good to us this morning. How many times are we really appreciate the goodness of God and sending into our lives people who have blessed us immensely this morning? How many times in our lives this morning has God sent someone along to be a blessing into our lives, and we sometimes forget all of that? We need to appreciate our friends this morning because God has sent them into our lives. I think second thing, we need to recognize the brevity and frailty of life this morning. Life is brief. I told you before, and every time I think about it, I think how true it really is. When I was complaining about old age is not what it ought to be, and old age is not a good thing sometimes, the guy said, "Well, don't worry, it ain't going to last long." Think about it. Life is brief. Philip of Macedonia was Alexander the Great's father. And it said that every morning when he awoke that his servant would have to draw back the shades from the windows and look at him and say, "Philip, you must die." To remind him of the brevity of life. This morning, if we awake in the morning, we could wake with that thought. We must die. Death is coming. You read Genesis chapter number 5, and over and over and over you read in that chapter, and he died. They lived many times, many hundreds of years, but yet the scriptures declare, and he died. He died. Death is coming this morning. I think there's a movie out by this title now, but doesn't have anything to do with me, called Walk Among the Tombstones. But you walk among the tombstones. You go to a cemetery and you begin to walk down through the tombstones and begin to read the dates. You begin to see the names. And they were once alive, just like you and I. They were once young, as some of you. And you begin to read the dates, and the one thing that will always stand out if you walk among the tombstones is death is real and life is brief. Doesn't last very long. The headline in the newspaper yesterday told about the death of Alan Nunley, a man who was only 56 years of age, did a lot in his life. I read the obituary in the paper this morning, and irregardless of anyone's political affiliation, you have to reach out and feel for the family of any individual today who cancer has claimed them so quickly. But he had done many things in his life and earned many awards and much acclaim. But yet this morning, Alan Nunley is dead at age 56. Life is brief. The other day I was talking to a man, and his wife had called him from work and said, "You need to come get me." He said, "What's the matter?" She said, I can't read my grade book. I can't see, and my left arm has gone numb." He carried her to the doctor, and they said they couldn't find anything wrong, but they were sure that it was a mini stroke, to go to a regular doctor. And she went to a regular doctor, and they scheduled some tests. And he told me Friday that they got the results of the test, and they found some kind of growth on her brain, and they're going to see a neurosurgeon tomorrow. Just all at once. Life is brief. It's fragile. We better handle it with care. Come before winter. Because I might not be here, Timothy,
my life might end.
Then we need to seize life's opportunities. God gives us precious opportunities this morning. But yet life is filled with graveyards of missed or neglected opportunities. Did you know this morning that someday we'll do something for the last time? Because there's a last time for all things. A last time for all things. And this morning we might not even know when that time will be. As I said, this past week, these words have just come over and over and over, come before winter. And I thought of all the opportunities that I've missed. All of the things that are buried in the graveyard of my mind today. And how if I had the opportunity to do some things again, I would do them. I got a call this week and they had put up Ken David's tombstone. I went by the graveyard and looked at it, and I thought, boy, it looks nice if a tombstone can look nice. I thought, boy, I'd love to hug these kids one more time. Wish I had the opportunity one more time to hug them and tell them I loved them. But how many times did I not take advantage of that opportunity? You see, there'll be a time when it'll be the last time that we'll ever get that opportunity. Come before winter. Maybe we just need to tell people we love them. Give them a hug. Sometimes we just need to do or to give or say thank you. Never know what it means to that. Not long ago, I received a call one Sunday morning, kind of around 8 o'clock or so, and I looked at the phone number, and I thought, I don't recognize this number, but I answered it. It was a preacher, and he called me, and he said, I was sitting here thinking about you, and I remember how you helped me several years ago, and I just thought I need to call you and say thank you. That was wonderful. I didn't do it for that, but sometimes it's good to just say thank you, isn't it? Sometimes it's good just to say I love you. Sometimes it's just good to do something or to give something or whatever needs to be done. That God has put an opportunity there in front of us that says, here's this opportunity. Take advantage of it. Seize on to it. Don't let it go this morning. And then we need to deal with life's necessities. The need for Jesus. The need for Christ. Today. Come before winter. Come before winter. Today is the day of salvation. Come before winter. Because you might not be able to make it to spring. In my mind, I thought about Timothy, and he delayed for whatever reason. And he didn't arrive in Rome until spring, and he rushes down to the prison and asks the jailer, can he see Paul? And he said, oh, young man, I'm sorry to tell you, but Paul was executed a few months ago. Are you Timothy? Yes, well, he wanted me to tell you that he loved you and he appreciated you. But he's gone. This morning, we need to come before winter. Whatever opportunity God puts in front of us, we need to take advantage of this morning. Come before winter. Let those words remind you today of what each of us needs to do in our lives. Come before winter. All right, Brother Bruce, you'd Barbara come. You'll stand together with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message. We ask you to use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And for all that you do and all that you've done here today, may Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified. For it's in his name that we pray.